So welcome to today's fatherheart.tv webcast. My name is Barry Adams, and it is Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday, May the 22nd, 2019. And today I'm talking about a topic that I just call finding your voice. And one of the things that the older I get, I guess, and the more reflective I get on my life and what is passionate, there are certain sweet spots that I find that I'm very passionate about. And, you know, there's probably quite a few that I'm passionate about. But what I'm talking about today is something that I'm quite passionate about. And, you know, just because of the journey that I have been on in my own life. And so my prayer and hope is that, it might touch something in you as well. And so I'm talking about finding your voice. And the interesting thing about a voice, a voice is different than just words, right? Somebody can call you on the phone and say all the right words that, you know, even if it's a spouse or a parent or a friend, and say, "Hi, this is so-and-so." And say all the right words, but if you don't recognize the voice, then it is something that, you know, immediately, it's just this intuitive dynamic that we have that recognizes each other. And, the more science has kind of developed, the more we realize that every voice is unique, every voice print, you know, your voice, the tone in your voice, the sound of your voice is completely different than any person who has ever lived on planet Earth. Your voice print is like your cornea and your eye. It's like your fingerprint. It's like your strand of DNA. Every person on the planet has a unique voice. And so I really believe that it's the Father's desire for us to know that and to be encouraged by that and to value that and to be able to know how to best use the voice that he has given us. And it's interesting, you know, many years ago when I was a volunteer youth pastor, when I was in my 20s, the Lord was speaking to me about watching television. Like I was, you know, watching too much television. And so he was, you know, I felt a measure of conviction about that. And then one Sunday evening, I can remember the Olympics were on, and so I skipped the Sunday evening service, and I stayed home and watched the Olympics. And then that Friday, I was out with the youth, and after a meeting, and we were at a restaurant, and one of the young gals who helped me with the youth ministry, she was part of a prophetic ministry that wasn't necessarily really uplifting. It was kind of very, very, it was kind of the nature of the prophetic ministry. It was more like, you know, they would have prophetic words calling people out of the crowd that, you know, with things that were not very, you know, helpful. They were maybe exposing sin or whatever. And so I can remember when we were talking in front of all the youth, and she said, "Where were you on Sunday night? Barry, I didn't see you." And I said, "Well, I stayed home and I watched the Olympics." And then she went into this prophetic rant towards me. And it was very harsh in my mind. It was talking about how God is speaking to you and you're watching too much television. You should have been at church. You shouldn't have been, you know, all this other stuff, right? And this is in front of all the youth that I was pastoring. And I wanted to really have an open heart to God. I didn't want to defend myself. I didn't want to justify myself. I wanted to be really open-hearted to if God was speaking, and because he had been speaking to me about television. So I thought, well, maybe he's speaking to me about this. So I asked him after that encounter, I just said, you know, "God, Father, was that you speaking to me through this lady?" And I just remember that he answered my question with a question. And I've never forgotten it. And it's something that I would really encourage you to really take to heart and think about your own life. But I said, "So Lord, was that you speaking to me?" And he just said, "Barry, did you hear my voice in the words that were spoken?" And as soon as he said that, I was like, I got what he was saying. I mean, there was absolutely no issue, no question with what he was saying, because you see, there's words that people can say, but the voice is, it goes beyond the words. The voice is actually goes to the very substance of the person's heart, right? And so when he said, "Did you recognize my voice in the words she spoke?" I realized that, I mean, the Father does convict us, right? The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, but there, he never condemns us. And so when I began to think through the lens of relationship, because the way you recognize a voice is through intimacy, right? When my wife calls me, all she has to say is one word. And as soon as I hear that, you know, "Hi, honey," or whatever, I know it's her, because through the, you know, 36 plus years of marriage, you know, I recognize her voice. So when God said that to me, it was like, oh, I get it. Even though the words were somewhat accurate, you know, in the sense of God was already speaking to me about watching too much television at the time, it was like I didn't recognize his voice in the words that were spoken. Because when he speaks in love and tenderness. And he actually, from what I understand, the difference between condemnation and conviction, when the Holy Spirit convicts us, he doesn't leave us in a place of feeling condemned. He always brings a remedy to any kind of conviction that comes. So like if I say something inappropriate to my wife, you know, if I'm a little harsh or I bark at her or something, and the Holy Spirit convicts me, it's like, okay, Barry, you know, you shouldn't have said that. And then the direction from the conviction of the Holy Spirit is just say sorry. Like, you can fix this. You can apologize. You can make it right, right? So you just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and then everything is done. But where condemnation comes, when the enemy comes and he says you are bad, you know, it goes beyond anything that you've done, and it goes to the very core of who you are. And so when, you know, I want to encourage you in your own journey. When Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice," in John, "and the voice of a stranger they will not listen." He didn't say, "My sheep hear my words." He said, "My sheep hear my voice." And if we are not able to discern the voice of God, the voice of the shepherd, the voice of our Father, the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to us, you know, we can be led astray by other voices. Because the reality is, in this world that we live in, there are thousands of voices, right? I mean, you just have to get on the internet and go through a Facebook stream, and you'll read and hear and watch, you know, so many people's opinions, so many people's voices, and there's all kinds of ideas and opinions out there. But what God wants us to do, the Father wants us to recognize his voice, to lean into his voice, to hear his voice. Jesus said in Revelation 2 and 3, he said, "To him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." Not what anybody else is saying, but what the Spirit is saying. And be very in tune to that. So when I talk about the voice, finding your voice, you know, I am talking about it in the same context where you carry a very, very unique imprint in your being, in the very fiber of who you are. There has never been anybody like you who has ever lived in the human history, and there will never be anybody like you through the rest of human history. So, and this is why it's so important for us to realize that this is important to our Heavenly Father as well, because when we begin to value what God values, then we are able to be able to partner with him more and be able to realize that what we have to say is incredibly important. And again, when I talk about what you have to say or what I have to say, I'm not just talking about words. I'm talking about the substance of our life and how God wants to actually work through us. In the Old Covenant, and this is before Jesus, so the Old Testament, God, when he spoke to his people, he spoke in many different ways. He spoke, but most often he spoke through intermediaries, right? He spoke through Noah and Abraham and Moses, and he spoke through the prophets, and he spoke through judges and kings, right? So the way that God spoke to his people most often was through an intermediary. But in the new covenant, now when Jesus came, and of course Jesus being the image of the invisible God, this all changed, right? And I just want to start by reading Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, where the writer of Hebrews says this: God, having in the past spoken to the fathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, has at the end of these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. And if you remember, there was a story that Jesus told, a parable, where there was this landowner who had a vineyard, right? And then he went and he hired out the vineyard to tenants, and they were supposed to bring the fruit during harvest, and they didn't. So I'm just going to read that, because this again talks about the value of the voice of the Son. And this is Matthew 21, verses 33 to 35. So this is Jesus telling the story. He says, "Hear another parable. There was a man who was a master of a household, who planted a vineyard, set a hedge about it, dug a wine press in it, built a tower, leased it out to farmers, and went into another country. When the season for the fruit came near, he sent his servants to the farmers to receive his fruit. The farmers took his servants, beat one, killed another, and stoned another." Verse 36 goes on and says, "Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they treated them the same way. But afterwards, he sent to them his son, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But the farmers, when they saw the son, said amongst themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and seize his inheritance.' So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him." And of course, we can see that Jesus is speaking as well of what the Jews would do, what the Romans would do to him, and when he would be crucified. And that, you know, in the Old Testament, God spoke through his servants, right, through his intermediaries. But there was a time that came when he did speak, he spoke through his son. And of course, we know that in the parable and in what happened in Jesus' life, that a lot of people didn't listen to Jesus, even though he was the Son of the living God. And in John 12:49, Jesus speaks and he says, "For I spoke not from myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak." You see, Jesus was the Father's voice on earth. If God is love, then Jesus was love personified on planet Earth, and he came to bring human form to the character and the nature of God. And the reality is, it's only the perfect Son could reveal the perfect Father. And that's why in John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And then in verse 8, Philip says, "Show us the Father and it will be enough." And then Jesus replies to the cry of the human heart. See, I believe each and every person was created to experience the Father's love, because God the Father is the source of love. He is the one who knit us together in our mother's womb and brought us forth on the day we were born. We were meant to know his love. And Jesus came 2,000 years ago to bring a manifestation of that love to planet Earth and to be the way home, so that we could be reconciled with God, right? That's what we all know. But so in verse 9 and 10, Jesus replies to Philip saying, "Show us the Father." And he's a little bit perplexed, because like he's been hanging out with these guys for 3 years already. And it's like, you know, in my paraphrase, and I'm just going to read it in a second, but in my paraphrase, it was like, "Guys, aren't you getting this yet?" You know? But this is what Jesus said, starting at John 14, verse 9. He says, "Jesus said to him, 'Have I been with you such a long time and you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I tell you, I speak not from myself, but the Father who lives in me does his works.'" You see, there is a complete difference between a son and a worker. And I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, you'll hear Mark talk about it. You'll hear me talk a lot about it. You'll hear, you know, anybody in Fatherhood Ministries, I'm sure, talk a lot about it. But the importance of us understanding that we're not slaves, we're not servants, we're not orphans, but we are sons. Because when we know, and when I say sons, it's not a masculine term. It's we are conformed into the image of Jesus, who is the, we have the spirit of sonship in us, right? So sons are actually sons and daughters in the expression on planet Earth. But the truth is that sons and daughters carry their father's DNA. Servants and workers don't. Sons and daughters have their father's best interest at heart. They aren't hirelings. They're about their father's business. They know that they're heirs, and they live from that place. And if you want to know, and even in the natural term, the best people on planet Earth that resemble Anne and I, my wife and I, are our kids, right? So if you want to see an image of who we are, you look at our children, and some people say even our grandchildren, you know, that our little Riley, our firstborn granddaughter, looks a little bit like your grandpa. But the reality is when we begin to understand the importance of walking in the spirit of sonship, walking in this revelation that we are heirs of God, that we are His children, and that it's only children that can really reveal their Father. And in Hebrews 1, where it says that in times past, that God spoke through His servants, but now He is speaking through His Son. And of course, in verse 3, it says He is the exact representation of the Father's being. The truth is, 2,000 years later, God is still speaking through His sons and daughters today. Matthew 10, verse 18 to 20, Jesus is talking about to His disciples about this, and this is what He says. Yes, and you will be brought before governors and kings for My sake, for a testimony to them and to the nations. But when they deliver you up, don't be anxious how or what you will say, for it will be given you in that hour what you will say. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. See, so Jesus is speaking a word to His disciples. He's wanting to really calm their anxious hearts. And He says, you know what, there's going to be a time coming when, you know, you're going to be brought up before courts. But you don't have to worry about what you will say, because it won't be you speaking, but it'll be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. You see, this is where it's such a beautiful expression of love when we see the Trinity. And I'm not a theologian, so I cannot do it justice. But the truth is that we have a Father and a Son and a Holy Spirit. And there are times when the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, is called the Spirit of the Son. And in this passage of Scripture that I just read, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of your Father. So we have the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son who is in us and who is continually speaking through us. And He is speaking through us through our unique voice in partnership with our DNA, because, you know, we are joint heirs with Jesus. And the more that we begin to understand this, that when we speak, it's really, really important that we understand that we have something to say, and it's important to the Godhead that we would yield and be aware of the high value that God places in our life. In 1 Peter 4:11, this is what Peter writes. He says, if anyone speaks, let it be as if it were the very words of God. If anyone serves, let it be as if the strength which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Now, you know, I do a little bit of speaking, right? This can be a bit of a sobering scripture when you think about it. When you speak as if you were speaking the very words of God. And you know what that does for me, and I know for a lot of my friends, you know, it really humbles us to cry out to, oh God, oh God, oh God, have mercy. Let any words that I speak that are not your words just fall to the ground, but anything of you, you know, let it bear fruit. But the truth is that because the God lives in us and He speaks through us, and there's this divine partnership. We are partakers of the divine nature. We are joined with Jesus. Jesus is in us. We are in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father. So the Father is in us. The Holy Spirit is residing as the temple. The more we realize who we really are, I truly believe that it will absolutely transform our understanding of the importance of us finding our own unique voice. See, Genesis 1:27 says that you and I were created in the image of God, right? In the image of God, he made male and female. So it's not just a masculine representation, it's a masculine and a feminine representation of God, because God is neither male nor female. He is the expression of complete love, masculine and feminine, and we've been created to express his image. So if think about your own life, if there has never been another you, so that means the very unique voice print, fingerprint, DNA that you carry in your being has never existed before. So when your being is connected with the Holy Spirit, and then out of that union in you as a new creation in Christ, we're born into the kingdom. God becomes our Father. We become heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. There is a manifestation of the glory of God, of the nature of God in you that has never existed before. And I think that is one of the reasons I truly believe that why the enemy is so intent on silencing our voice. John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And the word destroy there, the Greek word destroy, means to render useless. So that means he doesn't have to destroy you. He doesn't have to, you know, actually terminate your life. He can just render useless. If he can convince you that you have nothing to say, that, wow, you know, you don't know my life, you don't know my story, you don't, I'm not qualified. You know, remember when Moses brought that up to God, you know, the flaming bush, and then he said, well, you know, I stutter, and it's not, God didn't say, okay, yeah, you've got low self-esteem, no worries. No, he wanted Moses to speak. And the same way, God wants you and I to recognize the one-of-a-kind creation that we are. It doesn't mean that every person is going to go to the nations and have a speaking ministry, a teaching ministry, a public ministry. What I am talking about is just valuing your voice, valuing the unique reflection of the image of God that you are that has never existed before. So when you are in the grocery store and you are talking to the cashier, when you are looking through the unique eyes that have never existed before, that cornea that is so unique, it's a one of a kind, realize that you are a manifestation of God in that exact place. When you're playing with your grandchildren, when you're at school, when you're at work, whatever you're doing, you know, I just believe that the Father, it brings the Father great joy when we know who we are. And again, because in the Hebrew mindset, everything is sacred, right? There, the Greek mindset that the early church adopted, it compartmentalizes our life. So we have a work life, we have a business life, we have a family life, we have a spiritual life, we have a recreational life, and we have all these little boxes. But in the Hebrew mindset, everything's holy. You know, when you go to your grandchildren's soccer games, it's an act of worship. So the more that you and I understand that, and the more that we embrace that in our own life, the more that we love what God loves, and that's us. You know, loving ourselves is not some humanistic mantra. It is just simply agreeing with God's opinion. The more that we will begin to, I think, just value our voice. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul writes, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared that we would walk in." And the New Living Translation for that word workmanship is masterpiece. And you are God's masterpiece. You are a one-off original. God has never made the same thing twice. Every snowflake, every blade of grass is a one-off original. And so are you. And the more that you and I believe that to be true, the more that it will set us free from anything that would hinder us, you know, from the enemy lying, the condemnation that comes, and you're not enough, and you're not qualified, and you're not that. And, you know, it is just absolutely horrendous what the enemy wants us to believe. And the only power that the enemy has over us is the power that we give him by agreeing with his deception. If he lies to us and we believe it, then we've empowered the lie. If we don't believe the lie, then we don't empower it, and it has no power over us. So my encouragement to you in this webcast is to simply, if you're not, you don't even know who you are, you don't even are aware of your voice, to say, Father, would you just show me who I am? Would you show me that unique voice? Would you show me how that voice is so very powerful? You see, your voice is different than the words you speak. Your voice reflects the substance of who you really are. It's a one-of-a-kind original. And I just believe that the Father wants to show us what that means. You know, and my encouragement is not to underestimate the power of your words. You know, when God created the world, right? He said, you know, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke. And so of course Jesus is called the very Word of God, right? So it is so important for us to understand that there is power in the words we speak. And, you know, the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, right? So my encouragement is that if there's this creative power that God has, that he speaks things into existence, and we were created in his image, I think that it would serve us well to be very reflective of this and ask the Father, what does that mean for me? What is the voice? And again, not just the words, but the voice. You see, because the enemy is a master legalist. He knows the scriptures better than you and me combined. He understands it. He knows how to twist them ever so slightly, right? Even in the garden, God said to man and woman, he said, when you don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? That's what he said, because he's, when you eat of it, that day you shall die. Well, what did Satan come when he came as the serpent? He said, did God say, don't touch the tree, the fruit, or you will die? God didn't say, don't touch it. He said, don't eat of it. But see, the enemy is a master legalist. He will twist the word of God, and he will use the word as a sword against us to lop off our head if he can. So that's why it's so very important when we are discerning the voice of God, when we are discerning, we go beyond the words and we go actually to the substance of the person. You see, that's why Jesus said to the Pharisees, he says, you diligently search the scriptures because you think that you will find life in the scriptures, but these scriptures point to me so that you can come to me and have life. You see, it's not in the scriptures, in the written word, where we find life. The scriptures actually point us to the living person of Jesus. And it's in an encounter with Jesus Christ that we are transformed and we are born into the kingdom and we are reconciled with the Father. And it's, again, that's where the voice comes. And that's why it's so important for us to go beyond the contractual language of a Bible verse and go into the relational dynamic of a living, active relationship. You know, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. It's not this mechanical, impersonal language that sometimes we think it is. And I think one of the reasons that I, and you guys know this, for those who know me, this is one of my sweet spots, because I truly believe that we live in a world system that demands conformity. You know, we even in the school system, right? When little children go to school, right, before they go to school, they're creative, they think outside of the box, they are who they are, they live by their heart. And then they start in this regimented school system where you have to study this, you have to do this, you have to write this, you have to report on this, you have to do this. And that system itself demands conformity. And if you think outside of that box of that, then you know, you don't get good marks, you might get embarrassed, you might get shamed. You know, you certainly don't get the gold star that goes on the wall for the top student. And so I think the pressure, either with the world system and even a broken religious system, is that we conform, we change, we try to be like somebody else. We go by the dictates of the world system. What is good? What is right? What is required of us? And if we do that and we lose a sense of who we are, if we lose our own voice, our unique characteristics, a unique nature, we are going to fall into a pattern of living that is not true to ourselves. And we will not live out the good works that the Father prepared in advance for us to do in Jesus. Because we will be spending our life comparing ourselves with other people, measuring ourselves with other dictates, and never ever walking in the fullness of what the Father had for us. And I think that's really, really important. And that's something that I feel that I'm pretty passionate about. And, you know, in if I talk about identity, if I talk about comparisons and measurements, you know, I just believe the Father really wants you and I to know that He has given us this unique voice. And, you know, I'm a bit of an odd bird. I've always liked to think outside of the box. Before I came into pastoral ministry, I was a son trained in secular media. To be honest, I have never fit into any traditional ministry model. I don't even fit into the traditional itinerant model. I mean, I just in the last few weeks I was in Finland for a couple of weeks, and that was amazing. But I don't even feel like when I went to Finland, I'm going there as like an itinerant speaker. I'm just going there as a son whom the Father loves, a little boy with a big dad, meeting my brothers and sisters and being able to share the riches of my life with other people. And, you know, if that, you know, it happens in a meeting, great. If it happens over coffee, great. But it doesn't define me. And I think in my own Christian life, I've spent too much time over the years trying to live up to the expectation of other people. And I think the older I get, walking in this revelation for over 20 years and just being able to know how much I'm loved and how much the Father loves the real me, the more, and I'm on the journey still, and it crops up its ugly head from time to time, but I believe that the more that the Father just continues to convince me that I'm loved the way I am, I'm enough. You see, there's nothing worse for me than getting up and trying to speak to a bunch of people who have an expectation that I'm this, you know, this speaker that came from another country, and I don't deliver, that somehow I am not enough the way I am. And whether people make you feel that way or not, because people will sometimes, and they don't necessarily mean to, but it's part of what their expectations are. My encouragement is to, when you feel rejection, when you feel misunderstood, go to the Father and just like, and this is what I do. When people say things to me and I feel hurt or misunderstood, I'll go to Papa and I'll say, Papa, will you tell me who I am again? Because I need to hear from Him who I am. I need to know that my life is enough the way He made me. I don't have to, leap tall buildings at a single bound. You know, I can just be myself. And I really believe that's the cry of the human heart. We all want to be loved. We all want to be accepted just the way we are. We don't want to have to try to put on this phony mask in order to be loved. And so I've struggled with this, you know, much of my Christian life. I've struggled with it in the ministry world, you know, because when I became a Christian at 15 years of age, I felt called into the ministry. I really felt that God had called me into ministry. But the only grid that I had of ministry at that time was pastoral ministry. I had no idea of anything else. And I thought, well, maybe I have to go to Bible school. Ended up, you know, working, getting a full-time job at 16 years of age in the newspaper business. I applied at two jobs, and one was preparing fast food chicken, and the other one was in the newspaper business. And the Lord had mercy on me, because if I would have got the fast food chicken job, which I was hoping for, I would have never been on the journey I've been on. But, you know, when I got into the newspaper business, and all of a sudden now I'm designing ads and I've got markers, and, you know, this is before the computer technology, you know, I'm drawing things with markers and writing ad copy, and I went, oh man, I love this. There's a part of me, this odd bird, thinking outside of the box that, you know, being trained in secular media is all a part of. And God knew that, and He sent me down. He didn't send me to Bible school. He didn't send me to pastor a church. He trained me for 19 years in the newspaper business. And it wasn't until years later, when I look back now, even what I do now, that I began to realize, you know, because sometimes I'd feel bad. Well, I don't come from the Levitical tribe. I'm not a Levite, you know, in the sense in the new covenant. You know, I'm a media guy. But the Lord really showed me that He's, Barry, you're a son that I trained in secular media, and I've given you authority in media. And of course, over the years with our different websites and projects, we've seen that, you know, we've seen God just bless things, and it's just amazing. So my encouragement to you I'm speaking as your little brother speaking to you, okay? I speak from a place of struggling with this myself, feeling like, you know, all the crazy stuff I do, and I, you know, create cartoons and all kinds of things, Father Loves the World declarations and Father's Love Letter and, you know, paraphrased Bible promises. I've done all these things over the years that have not felt like they've been traditional expressions of respectable ministry. But there is a high cost of caving into other people's expectations. And I don't believe it pleases the Father when we do it. Not that he's mad at us or he wants to discipline us, but he just wants you to be you. He wants you to embrace the one-of-a-kind, unique work of art that you are and simply live there. Don't do anything else. Don't go anywhere else. Just stay and be you. A while back, I saw a Facebook meme, and it's so true. It said, everybody else in the world is taken, so you might as well be you. You know, God doesn't want you to spend your life trying to measure up to even the best speakers, you know, the best influencers in the Christianity today. You're not them. You know, I love and honor Billy Graham, but I'm not Billy Graham. And if I spent my entire life trying to be him, I would rob the world of Barry Adams. And the same thing for you. My encouragement, you have a voice. And when we cave to expectations, we rob the world of the image of God that he created us to be. And God doesn't want you to live your life as a parrot, you know, repeating the sounds you hear. He wants you to live in this world as a one-of-a-kind masterpiece that he intended you to be. That is his heart. You are not a servant, but you're a son or daughter. And that's where it says in Galatians 4, verse 6 and 7, Paul writes, he says, and because you are children, God sent out the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. You see, you're not a son, servant. You're not an orphan. You're not a worker in the kingdom. You're not a soldier in the army of God. I mean, we have these manifestations that sons can war and sons can be part of the army of God and all that, but that's not who we are. We are sons and daughters to Yahweh. And it's only sons and daughters that can really, truly reveal their Father to a world that is crying out, show us the Father and it will be enough. And Ephesians 5, 1 to 2, Paul writes this. He says, be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love even as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling fragrance. You see, be imitators of God as dearly loved children. You see, God wants you and I to be able to believe that we're loved enough, that we're valued enough, that we our voice, he has given us a voice, and when we speak, we need to believe that we are speaking the very words of God. And I'm not trying to be thus saith the Lord and this harsh kind of thing, you know, that some people do, and, you know, they don't listen to counsel because they say God's speaking through them. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just talking, and I in the group that I'm talking, you know this, right? And we're just talking about believing that the voice of your Father, the Spirit of your Father is speaking through you, and he speaks through you in union with your own voice, so that you would bring a manifestation to planet Earth that has never existed before. See, in the ministry my wife and I have had over these years, I've realized that many people have lost their voice. Maybe it was shut down when you were little. Maybe you were dreaming impossible dreams and somebody came up to you, whether it was a parent or maybe a teacher, and just said, stop doing that. You need to conform. Maybe you never, ever had permission to even discover your own voice. I have prayed for many people over the years, and I've asked them, I said, what's in your heart? And with tears in my eyes, they look at me, or in their eyes, they look at me and they say, I don't know. I've never given myself permission to ask that. Well, God wants you to, if that's you today, I believe that God wants you to ask, give yourself permission to ask that question. You know, what is your voice? Maybe you thought you had nothing to say, you know, and again, if we have this grid of this ministry paradigm where we think that it's only the speakers in the front who have the pulpit that have something to say, you have something to say. It may not be to millions, but it may be to your son or your daughter or your friend or your coworker. That is as valuable to God as the person who is preaching to the nations. And the reason why is when we are faithful with what God has given us, that's all he's ever asked. He only wants us to be faithful to do and be what he's called us to be. I believe the reward is the same for the person being faithful to love their grandchildren as it is for the person going to the nations, if that is the calling that they've been called to. You know, we are the ones that put out a value system of the rewards that we think we're going to get in the kingdom. I don't think God ever demanded that or expected that. Maybe a broken orphan world system convinced you that your voice wasn't enough. Maybe a broken religious system told you that your voice wasn't important. My encouragement today as your brother is just to encourage you that Papa has a heart for you. He's created you with a unique personality. He determined where you would be born and where you would live. He made you in his own image. You are an earthen vessel. Sure, you're a clay pot. I'm a clay pot. I'm a crack pot, as they say. But you're also a spectacular container of his glory. And his heart is to bring a revelation of himself to the world through you. And he wants you to find your voice again if you've lost it. And maybe you're here and you're listening and maybe it's been, you know, you're timid. You know, God has not given us the spirit of timidity, right? But a power of love and a sound mind. And I just want to encourage you that there would be boldness that would come and that you would be able to be confident, not to speak somebody else's voice, not to parrot what they're saying, not just to repeat other people's words, but to come into the destiny and the plan and purpose that the Father has for you. He wants you to find your voice and he wants you to begin speaking as if you're speaking the very words of God. And I'm just going to put the music on now. And I just want to encourage you guys, like, if there's anything in you that resonates with what I'm saying, maybe you feel like you have lost yourself in comparing yourself with other people, and or you, maybe you've had your voice shut down, or maybe you've never even had the permission to ask the Father what your voice is. My prayer today is that we would be able to have a shift in our thinking today, a paradigm shift. So that we would be able to actually, the word repent means to change your mind, change your way of thinking about things. Would you today be willing to repent of comparing yourself with other people? Would you be willing to repent of trying to live up to other people's expectations? Would you be willing to repent of self-hatred if you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see? Would you be willing to repent from false humility, where it's inverted pride, where you see yourself as this worm, you know, and somehow you think the lower you can debase yourself, the more you magnify God's love for you? That's not the truth. We set a value on what we're willing to pay for things. What was the immeasurable value that God the Father placed on your life, but the life of his Son? And would you be willing today to simply embrace the earth-shaking eternal truth that you are a much-loved child of the Most High God, and you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus today, not only in heaven, but right now. You see, because the Lord's prayer is that your kingdom would come, Father, your will would be done on earth just like it is in heaven, and that God has called you to be a unique reflection of his image this side of heaven. So I'm just going to pray for you, and I believe God is jealous over this for you. And I know this is the struggle that I've had. I know it's a journey that we're all on. It's a process that we're all on. But you have a voice. God has given you a voice, a unique imprint that has never existed before. And the creative power of your voice, because you were made in his image and likeness, the Father wants you to be able to be a manifestation of that voice to anybody who hears you. You know, in the new covenant, God spoke through prophets and servants. In the new covenant, he speaks through sons and daughters. And that's what you and I are. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. So, Father, I just pray now in the name of our big brother, Jesus Christ, that, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, there would be an awakening into the unique voice that you have given each one of us. Father, I just pray that if there's any self-hatred that we have agreed with, any lies from the enemy that says that we are not enough the way we are, that we have, you know, we have to be like somebody else, that we have somehow lost our voice or we never had our voice in the first place. Father, I just pray right now that there would just be an encouragement that would come by the power of your Spirit, that your love would be just bubbling up in our hearts, that we know that we're loved with an everlasting love, that we're safe, that we're accepted, that we're valued, whether we raise the dead or have a nap, it's all the same to you, Father, that we do not have to measure our value by productivity anymore. We are loved, and that is where our value is simply because you love us, not because we do anything to deserve it. So, Father, I just pray now that you would just help us all, each and every one of us, to find our own voice, find our unique way of expressing your love and your life on planet Earth, and simply do that. Father, it's only little kids who have a Father in heaven who can say, your kingdom come, Father, your will be done on earth, just like it is in heaven. And Father, would you be a manifestation of your kingdom through us? See, little kids just say amen to that. Yay! Ha ha! So I just want to say a big amen. And I just pray the Lord's blessing on this journey for you and that you would just know that your voice matters. Amen.